Kuf Lamed Zayin at the bottom, right?
Yeah. Yimata Kore Me'achas Mishteh Akitos Harishonai. Alt Ayan Bidvarai.
I just want to make, maybe this point is past its time. But just like with the, you know, the Greenberg thing, you know, so I was just thinking of it in light of these groups that the Rambam describes. So what they do is they have, you know, he'll take Chazal here, and then he'll, some Chazal he'll take, and some Chazal he'll sort of, you know, say those don't apply anymore. But the thing is, you got to ask one question, and not going to be easy to get an answer. But you have to, you know, answer it yourself. What does he hold from Chazal? What is your opinion of Chazal as people? That's a question. You know, it's very easy to say, well, I accept this statement, and this statement I don't accept. But these are the same people who made these two statements. So what is your opinion of these people? You know what I'm saying? And his answer is going to have to be, really, it would seem that it's probably going to be in the second cut. I mean, it's going to be in the second cut. Because he's going to have to say that he does not really consider them to be tremendous, deep chachamim that say things that he can't fathom. Because he's standing in judgment over those, over the statements, and he's actually a decisor on which statements are good and which statements are bad. So he obviously is not taking a position that they are on a far superior plane from himself. So I mean, that's really what you see. You know, it's very easy to laud their statements over here, and then when Chazal say things that he doesn't like, to, you know, brush them off. But you can't avoid that they're the same Chazal. So what do you think of Chazal? And then I think that really reveals the problem in the position that he has to say, I mean, if you were honest, that he really thinks Chazal are inferior to himself. Because he can be in the position to see past their small-mindedness and all of their flaws that they must possess to say things that he believes are untrue. So it really is a, you know, you're putting yourself in the position, someone like that is putting themselves in the position of superiority over Chazal. As much as they find statements that they're going to take and use to their advantage, but once they split it up, you have to have one opinion. And that's, I think, what the Rambam is trying to explain in these three groups. The focus is on how do you view Chazal, not on one particular statement over another particular statement. And the first group had some sort of infantile hero worship view. The second group was more like we're just describing. And the third group is the only one that have a realistic view. But having a realistic view is detrimental to the ego. That's what's difficult. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. I don't care.
We got the post/4.
Okay. Go ahead.
V'im ata ha'korei me'achas mishtei akitos harishonos, al ta'ayim bedvarei b'shum davar min ha'inyan hazeh.
Talk about a disclaimer. Okay. So he says, if you, the reader,
I've made it this far,
are one of the two groups, of one of the two first groups, don't look any further in my words, in anything in this matter.
Say, oh, you know, I'm part of one of those two groups. I'm not going to read anymore.
At least you can say he warned you.
No,
go ahead. You can explain. You can explain a little more. Go ahead.
So he's telling you
why. He, it's a limud. He wants to try to teach you something over here. That that... No, let me just ask you... okay, well... I don't know if we call it a klutz kasha, but...
a klutz kasha?
No. Not a real question.
Now, as you were saying before, almost nobody in that third group.
Right.
So, it's like, you have to be...
he's writing for the other guy.
He's writing for the other guy. I mean, So what do you mean? What's the answer to that question?
What, I don't understand the question. You're saying it's a few people?
Yeah, a minute ago he said that third group is like one person. It's like the sun is a group of stars in the solar system. Right? But I think,
sorry.
Go ahead.
Because once you recognize that you understand these first two groups, you might not be in the third group, but you're not in the first two groups.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. I think, right, I think we said that, correct. It's a good question. Is that possible? No, is he saying you can be...
One of three groups.
Well, no, I mean, like, it could be that once you recognize these two things, that you'll see that whatever the Rambam is putting forth, I shouldn't accept it blindly, and I shouldn't think that I am the ultimate determiner. I should, like... I'm saying that you should avoid the first two groups.
Can you be not in these three groups? That's the question.
What is that?
I mean, there's a possibility that you're not squarely in any one of the groups.
Not really.
Can we just briefly repeat what the two groups are?
Yeah, the first group, he says, are the ones who say everything is literal, right? And therefore they believe all sorts of impossibilities. Because they say Chazal said it. Chazal are infallible. And what they said, they meant literally. Right? Second group says almost the same thing, except that they reach the conclusion, they have a they reach the conclusion that Chazal are foolish. Right? They say that they said things literally, but they say these things can't be true, and therefore Chazal are foolish. And he says the third group is the ones that say, that Chazal have deep truths, and when they see things that go against what's possible, they say that there is a hidden meaning, right?
I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any room for another group. I mean, it's possible to be in the third group and not be, you know, oneself a great chacham, but recognize the Chazal have a great chachma, and then be able to see the ideas and recognize the impossibility of impossible things.
Right.
But you don't even have to be able to perceive the ideas. You just have to know that Chazal have some sort of, that they're not stupid, and they have some sort of intellect, and B, that they, what they say is not to be necessarily taken literally. You don't have to understand that what it means. You just have to understand that it's not necessarily to be taken literally.
Right. Well, there is one, a simple answer is, that, and I think we've said this before, that these are three groups of people who have formulated opinions about Chazal. Mm-hmm. It's possible you don't have an opinion yet.
So what about your...
Either you or...
When you're reading this...
I mean, someone who hasn't heard of Dira Chazal.
Go ahead.
Just numbers-wise, you have 5 billion people on the earth, and say there were 10,000 who were in this third cot, I mean, that would seemingly be...
A full group.
There weren't that many back in the Rambam's day.
Whatever, you can do your own math. But, I mean, didn't he say he read the Mora for one person? Like, so fine, 10 people, 1,000, however many you want to put, like...
And he could be writing for generations, right?
People who would,
right. You're saying that, whatever the limited number of people are, that's what he's...
1,000 fools mock my words.
That's right.
Now, what did you say?
Yeah, no, it's just that,
Now, where's Randy Curry? My words.
He's
one person in 500 will understand.
No, because we were entertaining a possibility at one point that you could be not completely in these groups. I'm just trying to remember how it went. David, I think Randy was here.
Yeah, he was. I know he was advocating that.
Right, he was advocating that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's been a long time since we've met.
Yeah.
Really?
Now, is it possible that a person does not, a person feels a, he knows Chazal, he knows that Chazal are Bali Mesora, and I guess you could say he's perplexed. He doesn't know what to do with this conflict. He has the conflict. In other words, we say the first group resolved the conflict by saying that reality must yield. Right? But that's a conclusion that you have to make to resolve the conflict.
The mind's not naturally going to favor one thing. I mean, in terms of the way you are going to view Chazal, isn't it?
Well, why can't you be perplexed? Why can't you say, I know Chazal are the Bali Mesora. I know from the limited things that I see that they're, or at least I know from my heritage that they're great Chachamim. And yet I know that certain things can't be. I don't know what to do with this.
So I'm not sure. How do that though than the third group?
Yeah.
No, because the third group knows that they're speaking in a language of. The third group knows that they're speaking in the language of Moshel.
But functionally,
they're
saying. You know that literally this thing can't be true, so they can't be meaning.
You don't know. You don't know. You don't know anything about it. All you know is you see things Chazal say, and you don't have an approach to what to do with them.
But why do you not have an approach? Because you're in conflict with the fact that they're saying something that seems to be out of line of reality, and at the same time you know they're bothering Sora, which means
correct.
You think.
Correct. Correct.
What you try to resolve it.
They could be wrong.
Correct.
Yeah. It can't be taken literally, which puts you in the third group.
You don't
no, but why do you have to reach a conclusion? Why can't isn't there logically a position where you right?
Yeah.
Isn't there logically the point where you have the problem?
But isn't the recognition of the problem like pretty much?
No.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Saving you a spot in the third group.
No, that's the problem.
You could go into group one.
Yeah, you could tilt. You could go to group one. Exactly. You're on the precipice.
You're on the top of the cliff.
But then you're just like ignoring your question. Yeah. Meaning you're not accepting the validity of your question. You're pushing off your
timing
question.
Is everything. You reach the question and you open up the Rambam. And you're ready to run. Right?
I don't understand why we're forced to say there's another group.
No, I'm not saying there's another group. But I'm saying you don't have to be necessarily
pre-group.
In any of the groups. You could be right. You're right. You could be in doubt. I'm just in doubt.
Right, that's not another group.
Not
that's
another
not
group.
Position.
Position. Yeah, you don't know. Right, you don't have a position. You don't have a, these are formulated, right.
But
these
also,
are formulated worldviews.
This category,
yes.
I would think, would also be pretty small for people to have, to be going through a Rambam and not have an opinion.
At least it makes sense that the Rambam is addressing them. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Well, your question initially was because if it's the third cot, then he doesn't need to.
Well, two things. If it's the third cot, well, yeah, why does he have to address them? And, well, that doesn't, no, I mean, no, that doesn't bother me. Why? But saying that third cot seems to be saying is extremely, extremely small. I mean, is that really who he's talking to here? Now, I accept Ben's answer that, yeah, maybe that is who he's talking to. But I just taking it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
To say that there is more than these three cots.
So then a person that's not in any of these groups, right? So then what is he saying by if you're not in these two? Like
he's saying if you're in the first two.
Oh, okay,
he
fine.
Says
so
if you're in the first two,
right.
There's no point in going any further.
Okay. So he's
yeah. Okay. Now, why is there no point in going any further? Because he says, nothing will sit well with you. Nothing will fit with you. Not only that, it'll harm you, and you'll hate it. Now, we have to think carefully what he means by harm, but go ahead.
Ki eich yatimu mine hamazon kali hakamus mimutsai haikus. Adam Shakvar Hugo Lamini Hamazan Harayim Bahakvedim.
Okay, so he uses a marshal.
Hello Rocky as a Kehu vs nine.
So he's using a marshal. He's saying that what? That how could food that is light in its substance right? And in a, I guess, a balanced form. How could that be proper for a person who's already accustomed to eating bad, heavy food? In other words, the guy's living on a high-fat diet, right? He's living on a really decadent diet, okay? So if you feed him well-balanced, healthful foods, what's going to happen to him? Yazikuhu v'yisnoim. They're going to harm him, and he's going to hate them.
Why will they harm him?
Good question. Go ahead.
Hinecha roesh,
Davar osam shuhurgulu b'achila sabetzelim v'shumim
v'adagim al-haman ma'ahu v'nafshin katab lechem ha-kotha.
Right. So he's saying, like, the door of the midbar. Because they were complaining that they were missing all the good food they had in Mitzrayim. Right? And they said the mon is this light food. What are we going to do with this mon? Now, the mon wasn't good for them. I mean, it was harming them. It was hurting them. That's what I'm saying. What does it mean that it's mazik? I mean, from the marshal, I think he means, you see what he means. It doesn't mean it's mazik them in reality.
It's like a frustration.
It causes some pain. It causes a pain, he means. Because you can't say, I mean, that's Hashem gave them money. It was harming them. But it means to say, relative to your situation, it feels like a harm. It feels like, for the person who's undergoing that program I don't know what you call it, getting back into line, that program of reform, it's painful, right? And he's going to hate it. It's painful and he's going to hate it. But he's not saying that you're going to be worse off than you were. He's not saying that a guy who's used to decadent food is going to be worse off when he eats good food. I don't think that's what he means.
Would there be consequences of that pain in terms of the way he makes decisions about it later on?
That's all right. You're drawing on other sources.
No, I'm just guessing. I'm just wondering, like.
No, because the Rambam doesn't have an idea like that. But I don't know if that's what he means. I don't know if that's what he means. It could be. I don't know what he means. Go ahead.
Okay.
So what does that mean? So why is that so? So that's fine. I mean, a marshal is always good. But the question is, does it apply to the case? I mean, you can make a lot of mishalim for things, but they don't always necessarily apply. So what's the application? How is this mashal of a guy who eats decadent food, that healthful food is going to be harmful to him and he's going to hate it, how is that comparable to a guy who has a corrupt idea of chazal learning the right idea? I mean, how does that transfer from the mashal? What's the transfer from the mashal to the nimshal? Right?
I mean, he's so used to these false ideas that his emotion is kind of attached to. You know, he's not going to want to accept any kind of reality, any kind of, you know, truth.
Well, why is it by the food? Let's work. Why is it by the food that the guy is going to feel that way and hate it?
Because it's lacking of that certain quality that he likes.
Right? No.
Yeah, it's a light food. He wants the heavy foods.
Right.
So,
so what's he got? He's gotten used to a certain thing. That's really, he's gotten used to an accident of food that is really distorting the whole concept of eating. Right? Now, his food is really for nourishment and health. But there are certain accidental qualities that you can concentrate, or you can make them the focus of the eating, right? So that's really what the glutton does, right? Like people say, do you eat to live, or you live to eat, right? So so they take. They distort the whole process of eating and they take it out of the functional idea into just a experiential idea, right? To do that, they go after the taste qualities of the food, and you're gonna sacrifice the health qualities of the food. So in other words, the whole thing becomes distorted, and you go after an accidental, you latch on to an accidental quality that distorts the reality of the thing. But once that happens, once you're accustomed to that, right, it really changes the whole idea of the activity of eating to you. Now that is what eating is. That's what eating becomes. So now just to go back to eating healthy, eating vegetables and things like that. I mean, it's people can't tolerate these things. So you're saying the same thing over here, that once
you're making the muscle into the echo.
Yeah, that once you get to this you make the muscle, you mean making
the two ketos.
Oh, the muscle. But once you get into this, these types of thinking, right, are not true. They're not truly motivated by. They're not motivated by a search for truth. Right, they're really corrupt. They're really corrupted. They're corrupted processes of thought to suit some other desire that you have. You know, so they're really being. They're like. You're making arguments, you're drawing conclusions, you're doing somewhat the process, but the process is really just there in order that you can find certain conclusions that you preordained that you want. You know what I'm saying? So the whole process of thinking becomes like the accident. And the essence is to make yourself feel a certain way.
I don't know if this is a proper question for a comparison, but like, what's the difference between that, what these ketos are doing to the truth that they hear and they're hating it and damaging them, and then just an ordinary lowly shema, who isn't necessarily opposed, you know, he's also relating to the activity of learning in this, in terms of fulfilling a certain desire, but when, you know, he sees the truth, In terms of the area that he's learning, then he is drawn towards it at a certain point, you know?
Right, that's a good question. You mean, why is
it...
It
seems
you
like
say,
there's more here than just...
Right, why? How come you say mitok shalolishma, bolishma?
Right.
But you're saying, he's saying in these categories,
there's no point, stuck. Right.
He's never going to... That's a good question, yeah.
Well, it sounds like the Rambam's saying that whatever he's about to say would be, like, psychologically damaging, that because they're stuck in this category, this would be, like, berating that system, and it would end up, like... hurting them, because that's the problem with the glutton. It's not like he's not going to be getting health out of the food. It's
right.
That it's going to be a breakdown of his entire system of eating. So
right.
It needs to be like slower.
Right.
But I mean, it seems even more so that he's going to now have a bad association towards the good, right? Which is the same case here. Whereas, I mean, I would say the lowly shema might, and I have a tendency to carry analogies too far. But I mean, a person may relate to food correctly, and they may enjoy an aspect of healthy food, but they're still in the right straight realm, you know, similar to a guy who's in the lowly shema realm.
Well, I guess that is Matt's question. I mean, that's the question and that's the answer. I mean, right? Is the lowly shema guy corrupt in what he's doing lowly shema? Now, what Ben is saying is he's doing the thing, but he's just doing it for...
Right.
You're saying he's really saying that he's like a guy who eats healthy and rewards himself with a donut.
Right.
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 By the lowest shema, the motivation doesn't affect
totally
the process of learning.
Right.
These people are not looking for truth.
We're saying more than just they're not looking for truth. They're corrupting the whole thinking process to deliver certain results that they want. In other words.
What process are they involved in then?
They're involved in a What do you mean?
Meaning, like, what's the difference
the
between...
The process I'm talking about?
You're saying on the one hand it's a process of thought, but it's
thought
corrupting.
And analysis, correct. But you are... Just that's what I'm trying to say. The mushal is to eating is to the eating and to the and to your process of analysis, and but they or your view of reality. I mean the way you go about drawing conclusions about reality. And so you're saying that these people they're not really interested in looking at the facts. Which includes themselves and Chazal and the world. But yet they are using their mind and they're drawing conclusions and they have opinions. So how is it so? And they think themselves Chachamim, especially the second group. They think themselves Chachamim. So how is it so? They just use the certain features of thinking, certain features of argument. And analysis dishonestly. I mean, it just is like sophistry, you know. But it's so dishonest, it's dishonest to themselves even. So therefore, the whole thing is the whole thing is really it's like the food. You're taking a true process, which is eating, which has a true objective and a true form. And you're taking a certain quality of it and making that the main thing. So here too, in a sense, you're taking thinking and argument and rational thought, but you just use it, which the whole thing is directed towards the gaining a truth, but you're just using that form for, but the essence is, you're making the form the essence, and you're taking out the whole idea of getting the truth. You're negating the whole idea. Well, it's not exactly, you're right, it's not the same thing, because the essence is really your conclusions that you want to reach. But in terms of that whole process of thinking, you're saying the main thing is the format that it has. Mm-hmm. And as long as I can present it in a persuasive way with certain trappings of rational thought, that's enough.
Well, the first group's not really doing that.
The first group is a little different. It's a good question. The first group is a little different. It's true. Why should they be so...
Yeah.
Why should they be so resistant to this?
Yeah.
I mean, the second group is like a pseudo-intellectual thing. I was saying, if you're a pseudo-intellectual, that's like a pseudo-eater. So you're corrupting the whole process. So when you're confronted with the real process, of course it's gonna completely go against your whole. It's gonna have to cause a misfit and a pain, and a hatred. But what about the first group?
Well, they're still gonna have to compromise. They're going to have to compromise some of their like pedestal of Chazal. They're gonna have to say. That this thing has to be limited to some degree.
Compromise themselves by saying that.
Meaning, it would be greater to say that Chazal are right even when they're crazy. But they have to limit that and say that Chazal are still bound.
It's hard to say because I get the perception that the first cut are really ignorant more than anything else. So why not? I mean, I'm just straight the question. Why not? Comparatively, they might say, "Wait, this is a really nice interpretation of."
I think the Rambam is saying that the first cut really are like, I mean, it seems like the first cut have a very strong anti-intellectual approach. They have a strong anti-intellectual approach. They hate this. Yeah, no doubt, people generally don't like what they can't do. Not people's likes and dislikes don't go based on real importance. They go based on their own abilities. But the first group is not just ignorant. They hate the intellectual approach. Hate it. And I'm sure everybody's encountered people like that. Yeah.
you say that the accident in this case is the results and really the essential thing is the process which leads to results?
The essential thing to the, in the second group or the first group? In the wrong group? In the wrong...
In the right way to do it, the essence is the process.
Correct.
That you take.
Right.
And I think it's the second group that they're taking it, they just want the results.
They just want the results, right.
So that's what the accident is. In that case.
To them?
Yeah.
Well, if that's all they want, why is it the accident? That's the essence if that's what they want.
No, that's what they're making the essence.
They're making that the essence. Right. Now, the real chacham, the main thing is that he's using, that he's being rational and he's investigating properly. And he doesn't have any attachment to a particular result. Whichever the result comes out, based on his true analysis, that's the one that he's happy with. But these people are the opposite. They want a certain result, and then they get, it's like a lawyer. You listen to a good lawyer, spin a fantastic argument. Quote, you know, just happens to be in favor of the one that's paying him. But other than that, it sounds perfect.
You hung on a second thought.
Right.
I don't think that really they're really like what you're saying with the second thought is that like that they use their like whatever their form of analysis,
right?
Then in order to produce a certain a conclusion, right?
Right.
I don't think anybody. I mean, I don't think anybody just says that they don't have analysis.
No.
Everybody operates on some sort of analysis. They just.
Question is like this. Question is, how do you reach your conclusions? And I'm telling you, most. I mean. It is interesting the way the Rambam is putting these three ketos, because you could really put these three ketos not in terms of Chazal, but just in terms of the way people approach reality.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the second
ketah... I just wonder why you put it in terms of the way they relate to Chazal.
That's the way he puts it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay.
Where's the Rambam?
I have to think about it a little bit, but no, the second cut is, I mean, the first cut, they just don't want to think. They're just anti-intellectuals. I mean, in other areas of the world, in other areas of life, you don't really see that too much. You know what I'm saying? In religion, it flourishes.
Right.
But there aren't too many anti-intellectual doctors. I mean,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just not going to work. You're just not going to have any success. But most of the people, like college professors, you know, all these types of people, if you listen to them, I mean, it seems most of them have a certain emotional conclusion that they are happy with and they like, and many of them will readily admit that, you know, that emotionally this is what they like. And they use terms, you know, like good and things like that, but nice, you know, stuff like that. But clearly, like emotionally pleasing things. But on the other hand, they have this whatever it is. They have they can't say it's an emotional conclusion, right? They recognize that the way to reach reality is through thinking. But the emotions are very, very powerful, and the emotions really only allow for the person to have one conclusion. And that causes somewhat of a reverse engineering of getting the intellect to fall in line with the emotion.
So that's
it's what we call rationalization.
Right?
You rationalize. What does rationalize mean? You use your rationality to reach the conclusion that your emotional makeup demands.
You're distorting reality.
You're distorting reality.
The way you're describing it also sounds like the Rambam that your father quoted in Tisha B'Av Shir a couple years ago with the people who try to find reasons for all the particulars of mitzvos. They have a disease that they don't know whether they don't recognize it.
They can't talk about it. Right. I know what you're talking about.
They were talking about that same
certain disease.
That was
but,
in the Moria, right?
Yeah, the Moria is it. But, I mean, that's really most of the people who claim to be using their mind are really, the mind is just in service of this emotional, very strong emotional position. I mean, I think I once discussed this.
Didn't we discuss this somewhere else? This stuff seems so familiar. Insofar as, like, we made divisions with groups, I don't remember where it was, insofar as in the certain people who have intellect and ability and that they are or aren't using it, and there are certain people, evidently the majority, that don't have this intellectual ability.
Could be we discussed this. I mean, it's been a long time.
I have a question.
But then the last one is really a very, very small group that just forms their opinions based on their desire for the truth. I mean, that is really almost nobody. And it is true. When you think about it in general, you listen to politicians, you listen to professors, you listen to intellectuals. I mean, very, very few are not motivated by some emotional desire. Very, very few don't have an emotional investment in the outcome before their arguments are put forth.
It is just naturally how it is, right? I mean, that seems like kind of a
horrible
system.
System? I mean, that's man.
But I mean, what it seems so odd that the system is that you have such a small majority or minority of people who are able to even understand.
Well, that's the other Rambam. Why there's so many Amarazim. Yeah.
What Rambam?
So the
in
reason
the beginning
why
of the introduction to the
Pirishmash.
Yeah.
So the reason why I keep on thinking of the first group is they also try to prove their like their emotional, like their conclusions, whatever, through thinking, through analysis. It's because, like, I'll give you a certain example, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain person that recognizes that in every area other than God, right, that they operate using their mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they make conclusions based on that, right?
Right.
But in terms of God, they say they just have a feeling, you
right.
know, that they believe in God and they're comfortable with it, right?
Right.
And what they say is that, I mean, I'm comfortable with it, but I know there is, like, there's just a part of my intellect that understands it, but I just can't reach it, you know? So what group would that person be?
Well, you always have to trace it back to, there's always a point you can go back and say, you have to be putting forth some argument. Even that itself is an argument, right? Now, is that a rational argument? I mean, is that in any
no.
other area would they say that?
No.
No.
Right.
So
sure
just putting forth
do,
that.
I have a feeling that.
Just putting forth that argument is saying you're abandoning your rational approach, because you wouldn't use this approach in any other way. So just pushing it off to some phantom argument that I think exists is not maintaining, rationality.
So I don't see how the second group has any rationale. I mean, like, that.
No, that's what I'm saying. But the second group says everything has to be proven. Everything has to be proven. And you have to use your mind.
But
that's what there's. That's the second group saying.
Alright.
And they're saying, look at these foolish people who believe these things that I can show you are not true.
But you see, like, in terms of, like, there are gaps
they're ignoring open instances. That's what I was trying to say with Greenberg, that you can't ignore. If you see, this is what I'm saying in the third group, that once you see that these people have these tremendous ideas, you should form an opinion about them. What's your opinion of them? What's your opinion of Chazal? So that's what Rambam says in the third group. When you see ideas that you like are knowable from Chazal, you should realize that these are chachamim. And now, when you know that a chacham doesn't just say crazy things, nobody is a tremendous chacham and then says totally insane things. So there is something that's causing the second group to not want to realize this fact. And that, and what it is, and in effect, what they're doing is, like any good arguer, they're gonna take the worst pieces of evidence, or say the best piece of evidence for their side, and completely ignore all the countervailing evidence.
So, they really do operate in terms of ideas. Like, it's just that they're just...
They're not true ideas.
They're not true ideas. They operate with the recognition that...
There
should be ideas.
But
they want it to be... They want it to be their system of ideas, and therefore they're going to use, which is also corrupt, they're going to use their own sense of arguing to diminish the other side. Now, are you, I mean, I know what bothers people sometimes is how could people be so dishonest to themselves? It's one thing to be a lawyer and know that you're doing it just for the other side, but can people really be this dishonest to themselves?
They don't have to realize that what they're doing is false. And they see that, like, with the rest of, you know, their social environment, you know, okay, people, you know, everyone else is following this idea, you know, I'm going to follow this idea. Okay, I have conflicts, I'm going to assume that everyone else has the same conflicts, I'm not going to investigate any further.
But I'm trying to sort of answer that question by saying that it's not a question, because everybody is true to themselves, 100%. But the question is, where do they really view the true reality from? From their emotional outlook or their rational outlook? See, most people really feel their truest conclusions are what they feel emotionally. That is the truth to them. Now, there are certain gnawing problems that the intellect raises, but they can dispose of that with certain arguments that take the focus off of those problems. But they're not being dishonest to themselves because to themselves the emotional reality is the greatest reality.
So these people, right. In the second group, then when they accept, you know, something, let's say in science or whatever, based on rationale. So they're really, they're really not accepting it based.
Well, they might not have
an
emotional investment in that. I'm not saying it's their.
Would good be examples of.
No, I'll give you an example. Give me an example. Sometimes people meet somebody, and they just get a feeling about them. Right, purely emotional feeling, and some people that is the end of that person for life.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you say. They will always consider that person to be the way that they emotionally perceive them. And every piece of evidence that you can find, they'll just shrug it off. And any slight thing that will corroborate what they feel emotionally, they'll say, ah, I see? Right? They cannot break out of the emotional conclusion that they draw. And the emotions draw conclusions. And some people just cannot break out of that emotional conclusion. And so what do they do? I once spoke about this. I don't think you could remember this. I don't think you were here. That would make it difficult. But there's a difference between evidence and corroboration.
Right?
Remember we had this discussion once?
But maybe, I thought it would be like a good example. Maybe,
yeah.
Is it like these two cotton?
Ketos, yeah.
Ketos?
What?
Right? Is that, would that be like Achashverosh and Haman? Is that like a good example?
Any reason why you think of those two?
No, because I mean.
Say a month ago, would you have?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No,
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Because like you see that Haman, he recognized that he hated Mordechai, let's say, right? But he would only say that the way he would go about doing things is only through...
I mean, you might have a very good year, but...
I mean...
Quite honestly, I don't think we have to go that far back in history to find... I'd rather not do those two people, because there's so many other things associated with them, it's just... You've got to shake a lot of other, you know, connotations and everything. Evidence versus corroboration. Yes.
The thing that you say about how people like first impression of somebody, That usually only happens with, like, negative impressions.
Yeah.
With a positive impression,
That's not true. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
You have a positive impression about somebody, and, like, a couple of things happen wrong, and that's it. Like,
That could be. Depends on the personality type. Depends on the personality type. Depends on the personality type. So I was saying that evidence and corroboration are very different. Evidence means that you have no opinion and you want to see the facts, and from the facts you're going to draw a conclusion, right? And there's certain things that just don't rise to the level of evidence. They're not strong enough. They're not strong enough to allow you to really reach a conclusion, and maybe best you can say, I don't know. But corroboration is when you already have a conclusion in your mind, right? Mm-hmm. Then the slightest thing that's in your favor becomes like a proof. Mm-hmm. See? I told you so, because of this. But those things never would have been enough to have given you the conclusion in the first place.
Right. It's like Christianity.
I think we were talking about the Arabs at the time, right? But they have very strong conclusions based on nothing, right? And then when anything, you see. But most people are like that. I mean, the Arabs do seem to have, almost a gift for that. But most people have it to some, you know. In a great degree too, and that's the problem with arguments. That's the problem with arguments. People don't argue in an evidentiary way. They're not going to say, here is all of the evidence that should persuade you. They're just going to throw their corroborations at you. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't have that conclusion already, the corroboration is meaningless. You know what I mean? And on the other hand, anything that goes against you, you just that's a kasha. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you're not really interested. Most people are not interested in evidence. They just want to hear corroborations, and they just don't want to hear akashas. You know. So most people, when they argue, it's completely futile.
Yeah.
Because it's just a series of corroborations and deflections. Yeah. You know.
Not to mention, once they have that preconceived notion, even if you give them real proofs, most likely they're not going to accept it.
That's true too. That's true too. That's true too.
To what they have.
Yeah.
I just came across a scientific term for that phenomenon. I guess it's called the confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias.
I have to look up what it's from, but that's what it's called in, like, I know.
That's right. That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. So that's the. But anyway, so if you have a corrupt, how do we have it now? Either you disdain Chachma or you distort Chachma, right? Then when you hear the truth, when you hear the true ideas, it's gonna be painful to you, and it's gonna be and you're gonna hate it.
How does the mashal feel with the first cut? Because they don't like the hate food.
It's true. I mean, that's a good question. Exactly, the first cut. I mean, are they used to fatty foods? Are they used to fatty foods? I guess they gotta eat something.
they're eating
Just
like
Rim
Barrett.
They're not like
even
that
cocaine
or something. Alright, v'imat ha-me'anshe akat ha-shlishis, sh'kol zman sh'izdamen l'cha davar mi-divrehem mi-masha ha-sechon marchiko, tis'akev etzlo, v'teda sh'hu chida u-mashal, v'tisha v'tirdas ha-leiv v'imut ha-machshava b'havanazo.
Wow. So, if you're in the third group, that every time you hear something, every time you come across something from their words, from Chazal, that the intellect distances, you hold it to you, right, and you know that it's a marshal, that it's a riddle, and you remain in a turmoil, right, and strong machshava, and you know, is you really striving to understand it?
Doeg limso derech ha'emes v'rayon ha'tzedek, k'mosh amar limso divrei chivetz, because of yosher divrei Yes.
So you're really doing on it. You're really trying to. It's an interesting thing. I think also going back to the original question. I think it's hard to be fully in the third cat, even if you know the third cat and you believe the third cat.
You seem to have this level of
to have this level. This level right. is very rare.
Because you mean you always really doubt it. You always think like.
I mean,
it's only doubting, right? Because you have conviction that there must be something here. Is that what he's describing?
He's describing someone who's really.
Do they know?
Well, I mean, why is he doing over there? I mean, he really wants to see the truth.
Right. And he has conviction.
And he has tremendous conviction.
This thing does have truth in it. That's
yeah.
He just can't get at it because.
I think that there are a lot of people who would not be in the first cut. Would not be in the second cot, really, but a lot of things they will say, all right, maybe this thing is just simple. Yeah, I mean, they do realize that there are tremendous things in there, but I think there are degrees. I mean, like, I think we gave an example once, like, you know, you read Rashi, and then once in a while you notice. You know, a specific the way he worded something reveals a tremendous idea, right? And you know, Rashi's a great chacham, but maybe not always so medayik in every way he says things.
You're just saying it.
You're just saying it. You know what I'm saying? It's sort of an ambivalence in that. Sometimes there's an ambivalence in the third group.
That's just not knowing how one thing, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Or that also expresses itself also in sometimes I see a Mamar Chazal or something, and then you'll just attach an idea. That
right,
you,
or a quick thought. You say, right. A quick thought, and you say, that's what it means.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Through it and figuring it out exactly.
Yeah, so you're not really in. You're somewhere in the first and the third.
Yeah, it's a weird position.
It doesn't exist anymore.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, but he's saying if you're really in this third group, then what? His bonein.
Bidvarai. Tasik toilas imir teshem yisala.
So even then you need divine help. Okay. All right. Let's just start a few minutes. Go ahead. Now he's
going to
finally start what he wanted to do.
Achil Adaber B'mashratiti. Da, ki kishim shelo yasik hasuma es hatzvayim, v'lo yasik hachirish es hakolos, v'lo hasaris tavas mishkal, kach lo yasigu haguvus hata'anugos hanafshin.
Okay, so just, you should know, that just like the blind can't perceive color, and the deaf sounds, and the castrated, the sexual desire. So too, the guf cannot perceive the enjoyments of the soul.
Was it the what?
Soul.
Oh, no, what can't perceive
the gufos? Gufos, bodies.
Physical.
Okay, so yeah, go ahead. Get a little more.
Okshem shein hadag makir yisod ha'esh ibnei shu shorei behefko.
And just like a fish.
Now he goes all out of the muscle.
Can't recognize the foundation of fire because he lives in its opposite.
So too,
the physical being. So too, you can't know in this world, in this physical world, the enjoyments of the spiritual world. Because we only have pleasures of the body. And sensual perceptions from food and drink and tashmish.
V'koshu chut mize, hari hu etzlenu bilti matzui, v'lo naki rehu v'lo nesigehu b'iyon rishon, ela achre hakira meruba.
And and everything that's other than this is not found by us, and we cannot recognize it or perceive it at first, only after a lot of thought.
That's fine.
So no ruchnius.
No what?
You know, if you say,
yeah,
you have a lot of ruchnius.